on July 20th, 1969. Some of you remember this. Some of you old folks like me, you remember this moment. They say a half a billion people watched the first man, Neil Armstrong, step on the surface of the moon. First time in history that any human being has ever touched the lunar surface. He had to manually navigate the landing craft, the Eagle, down, and as he did, alarm bells were going off. Something evidently was wrong. You know, there were all kinds of unknowns involved in this because it had never been done before. The technology was untested to some degree. And they had 30 seconds of fuel left. So he didn't have several tries. He could go up and down. He had to get it done. And he did. He landed. And at 10:56 Eastern time on July 20th, Neil Armstrong walked down the ladder of that landing craft and said these words, "One small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind." It was an amazing moment. Because you see, since creation, the moon has exerted huge influence on the earth and on the people on the earth. Everything from affecting tides and seasons and attitudes, the moon does have an effect on this earth and on life on this earth. But now, for the first time in history, in a small little way, man was influencing the moon. And I just want you to think about that for a moment. Oh, he just left footprints. I get it. He left a flag. He left an old shell of their spacecraft on the surface. And they took rocks and dust and all of that stuff. I get it. The moon still shines. The moon still orbits. The moon didn't change what the moon does. But for the first time, in some small way, man influenced the moon. The children of Israel, as they reached the door of the promised land, you can turn in Joshua chapter 1 if you have your Bibles. But the children of Israel had finally, after 40 years of wandering in the desert, had come to the door of the promised land once again, to the entryway, you might say. And as a matter of fact, their first battle would be Jericho that we just referred to, that Pastor Seth did a minute ago. Israel had been enslaved and influenced by the culture of Egypt for 400 years plus. 400 years. The culture and the climate and the politics and the religion of Egypt had pulled on the people of Israel like the moon pulls on the tides of the ocean. It affected their attitudes. It affected their capacity to obey and follow God to the promised land and a potentially powerful existence as a people. This culture of Egypt. And now, after many faith failures, you might call it, they stood ready to enter the promised land for the second time, because the first time they blew it. And Moses, that spiritual giant that God had used to get them out of the slavery of Egypt, was dead. And Joshua, his young assistant, I say young, he's 80 years old by now. His assistant, who had been by his side all 40 years, is the next man up. And here's what the Lord says to Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. It's almost like God had to go, hello, hello, Joshua. Hey, hey, right here, buddy, right here. Focus. I know you've never known a day without Moses, but... And then here's what he does to assure him. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every, and I want you to hear this phrase because this is basically the theme of this message. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Can you say promise? I mean, that's quite a promise. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Can you say promise? What a promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Who does that sound like? Sounds like Jesus' words, doesn't it? You go to the New Testament, you're going to find Jesus saying the same thing to his apostles. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Can you say promise? Be strong and very courageous. It's like he says this three times in nine verses, okay? All right? Every third verse, he's telling Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Talk the truth. Speak the truth, he's saying. Meditate on it day and night so you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Here it is again. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I just want to go back to that verse 3 where it says, wherever you set your foot, I've given that to you. Footprint. When you hear the word footprint in today's, you know, vernacular, footprint is that place of influence. You know, we have a carbon footprint. That's supposed to be the relative amount of damage we're doing to the atmosphere and thus the environment on Earth by how much carbon we use, consume, utilize, whatever. Carbon footprint. You know, people want to know, what's the carbon footprint of that vehicle or that business or that factory or whatever? And then there's the footprint of a building. It's just the space that it covers. The area of impact and influence is the footprint. Enlarging our footprint equals enlarging our influence. Okay? Enlarging our footprint means enlarging our influence. I like to backpack, and I know a lot of the national parks and wilderness areas where you backpack, there's this sometimes stated on signs, but also an understood attitude is leave no trace behind. Make it look like you weren't even there. Don't mess something up, tear something up, abuse, cause damage. Leave no footprint. Don't do something that will spoil this unspoiled wilderness for the next guy that's coming along. Here's the problem. People love to leave their mark. Amen? I also at one time enjoyed caving, and I have been down into the deep bowels of the earth with a light, just me and a light and a friend usually, and all of a sudden you come through some formations, crawl through a tunnel, go through water, come up somewhere, and there, deep within the earth, Bo Cephas was here. Somebody left their mark, right? Somebody left their mark, and you have been in places where you think, man, did they really have to do that? Whether it was some beautiful marble monument and somebody felt compelled to put their mark on it. We love to leave a mark. There's something inside of us that wants to leave our mark. I know I spent a summer in New York City when I was in college, and I was amazed at all the graffiti. I mean, everywhere I looked, there was graffiti. Of course, I wasn't in Manhattan. I was in the Bronx, so there was a lot of graffiti. And some of it was beautiful, quite honestly. Some of it was very sophisticated art. I say sophisticated. It was art. But people love to leave their mark. Now, I would not have want them to leave that mark on my house or my car, but people left their mark. God says to Joshua, everywhere your foot falls, I've given you. In other words, you're going to exert influence over that area where you walk and fight and conquer and build and live. Because you see, Israel was poised to make their mark by conquering and resettling a land that was filled with violence, wickedness, and disease. And I know in today's world there's a lot of detractors from Scripture and from the Christian faith, and they want to point fingers at us and say, how could a loving God command the destruction of a people in the land of, you know, the land of Canaan and all? And that's not my purpose. I'm not going to deal with that today, but if you're interested, I did preach about that last summer. And you can go to our website and find a sermon about how could a loving God do certain things. But I'll say this, it was probably the only remedy for the depth of depravity, wickedness, disease, and destruction that that society represented. But God was calling them to exert their influence to establish a wholesome, God-honoring society in the promised land. God has called all of us to exert influence. All of us. Scripture, Matthew, you say, well, is this New Testament? Yeah, Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Here's what Jesus says to His followers. He says, you're the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. What are we talking about? We're talking about influence. We started the service out today with Jesus, with it saying about Jesus, He's the light of the world. But He turns around and says, we are the light of the world. Well, which is it? Yes, it's both. Because Jesus in us becomes the light of the world. Because remember, we are His body. But God has called us to exert influence. But here's just something I want you to consider for a minute, because this is a major, I basically have two major points this morning. But the first one is this. We are all in somebody else's footprint. We are all influenced, have been influenced by someone else. Can everybody just say, yeah, that's right. That's right. All of us have been greatly influenced and impacted by the people and the circumstances in our life. Is this not true? You know it is. So we are all under the influence of someone's footprint, of someone else's influence, someone or something. Our lives have been shaped by other people's influence in so many ways. So many ways. They've had such a huge role in shaping who you are for better or for worse. It may be somebody's prayers that shaped you, or it might be somebody's pain that has shaped you. It might be somebody's love and wisdom that has molded you, or it might be somebody's lust and wickedness that has affected you. And it might be both. But we've all been influenced by somebody, by something that has had a major impact. Oh, I know we have a will, and I know we make choices about how we respond to different people and different influences. And I'll talk about more about that in a minute. But we have to admit, I'm in somebody else's footprint. I am part of someone else's footprint. We're all under the influence of the footprint of something or someone. And you know, some of these influences span generations, and they're deeply embedded in who we are, and all of them are not positive. Amen? You ever had your spouse say you're acting just like your mama or your daddy or your cousin? You know what I'm saying? Well, that hurts a little bit, you know, especially when it's not a compliment. Some of these influences span generations. Some are deeply embedded, and some may seem unconquerable. But men did walk on the moon. And the children of Israel did conquer the promised land in spite of the influences of Egypt. In spite of the giants and the forts that were huge like Jericho, in spite of all of the odds, these bunch of slaves that had been wandering like nomads for 40 years ended up conquering the promised land against insurmountable odds, against the influences that tried to make them victims in their own minds always. You see, they thought like slaves. For 400 years they had been, well, not the whole 400 years, they'd been in Egypt 400 years, but probably for at least half of that. How many generations? 20? At least? Generations had been slaves. They thought like slaves. They acted, they reacted, they responded like slaves. And now they're supposed to be conquerors. It's like, as I said a while ago, the moon pulling on the tide. The culture of Egypt, their past experience, the attitudes passed down from generation to generation for many generations was constantly pulling on them. And God is leading them through the desert, showing them signs and wonders and miracles, miracle provision. And yet they kept stumbling and bumbling in their faith. They kept grumbling and complaining. They kept acting. They even at one point wanted to get rid of Moses and Aaron and get up a new leader to go back to Egypt and do what? Become slaves again? That's how powerful this pull was on these people. They'd taken the wrong road before. 10 spies, their bad attitude and bad report caused the whole nation to disobey God, and that's what kept them in the desert an extra 40 years. They failed to believe God, they failed to obey consistently. They failed to stop their grumbling and complaining, but in His mercy, God somehow got enough Egypt influence out of them to enable them to become conquerors and go in with faith, daring to believe God would bring huge walls down, daring to believe they could defeat the giants, which 30-something years before they said, we look like grasshoppers to them. God somehow was able to overcome the influence, the footprint of Egypt. As a matter of fact, when they go into the promised land and they defeat Jericho, one of the first things they do right before that is all the males were circumcised, and God says to them, today the reproach of Egypt has been rolled away from you. Somebody influences us. But the good news is this, and I want you to hear me. The good news is God is greater. He is greater than the influences that might have twisted us in our past. I don't care. I do care, but regardless is the best way to say it. Regardless of what's been done to you, or what was not done for you, or how you got done wrong at some point, how you were twisted, neglected, abused, confused, lied to, deceived, regardless of what has twisted you, what influences have shaped you in negative ways, I'm telling you that the Spirit of God is able to help you overcome the gravitational pull of the worst moments of your past. He is that kind of God. And listen, some of you don't feel like you have any of that. I mean, God's been so good to you, and you were well taken care of as a child, and you've grown up in church, and you've always loved Jesus, and you've served Him, and you've had your ups and your downs, but But when you look at your past, you don't look at it like this. The influences that twisted me, that contorted my self-esteem or contorted my confidence or contorted my self-worth or my sense of security or my sense of confidence. You don't see your life that way. And praise God, what a testimony. And sometimes we wonder, if we've never been there, we wonder when we see other people that have and how deeply affected they are in the way they respond to pressure, the way they respond to opportunities, the way they respond to conflict, the way they respond to disappointment. And we see sometimes dysfunction. And we wonder, can God change that? I've seen them go in the ditch over and over. It may be somebody you love dearly that's close to you. And you've seen them bail out and train wreck over and over and over and over again. And you begin to wonder, can even God, will He? Is there really hope for people that have been twisted by their influences of their past? And I'm telling you, the answer is absolutely yes. If I didn't believe that, we just need to pack up and go. God's a life changer. Amen? If He can make conquerors out of that rabble of slaves rolling through the desert, He can change a drug addict. He can change someone bound by perversion. He can change someone that's chronically depressed and suicidal. He can break chains. That's my first point. God's greater than the influences that have twisted us. And if He liberated Israel from Egyptian slavery, He can liberate you. But listen, He wants to go one step further with all of us. Yes, the influences that influence us impact how we influence others. But we're called to influence others. We're called. This is God's will. I just read Jesus' own words to you. It's His will that every one of us make a positive difference in the world around us and in lives around us. It's His will that we be lights in the darkness. It's His will that we spread love and joy and peace and goodness and kindness. It's His will. It's His purpose. And since He can untwist the damaging influences of our past, we have hope that we can be a good influence. That we can be a light. We all have the potential to be an influence. To leave a footprint. The things that influence us set us up to influence others. Your hope and your joy breed hope and joy in the people around you. Okay? Your hope and your joy tend to bring a reaction of hope and joy in people around you. Why don't you look at the person beside you and just give them a big old cheesy grin. It's hard for them not to grin back. Right? It's hard for them not to grin back. It's hard to be around somebody full of hope. Either you're going to rob their hope or get away from them, or you're going to start feeling hopeful. Why? Because we have influence and our hope and joy breed hope and joy in other people. But our hurt and our anger brings hurt and anger also. You know the saying, hurt people. Angry people make people angry. But the good news is happy people make people happy. You see, just like the moon and the earth, the moon is not the light source. The moon is the reflection of the light. It's the reflection of the light of the sun. And listen, God, we I know the Bible says we're the light of the world, but we're the light of the world in the same way the moon is the light of the world. We reflect the light of Jesus. And to the degree that we reflect Jesus, we influence our environment and the people around us. Amen? I gotta influence you to the altar here in a minute, so I'm going to get done. Joshua was given several keys, I believe, to influencing and leaving a large footprint in the promised land. The first one is this: handle what's influencing you. If you want to be an influence on the world around you, if you really want to be a light in the darkness, you've got to handle the things that are influencing you. I'm not just talking about your past. We've already dealt with that, and we're going to pray about that in a minute. And you're going to have a chance to come down here and us pray with you that God would break any chains that were forged around your heart and your mind because of what was done to you, around you, whatever. We're going to pray for a new change. That influence, that negative influence, its power over you will be broken today. But it ain't just the past that influences us. It's what we absorb every day. People influence you every day. Sources of information, entertainment, influence you today. Now listen, I heard a stat on the radio, on our radio station, 88.5, if you don't know where it's at, 88.5 FM. Focus on the Family comes on weeknights about 8:30, something like that. But they were interviewing a guy, and he has done a study about young people's use of cell phones, and he said that the average young person spends, this is going to blow you away, 9 hours of screen time of some kind, whether it's computer, it's video games, television, and phone together, the average young person spends 9. I'm thinking, when do they sleep? Do they go to school? But guess what? Cell phones is not a young person problem. Oh, me. This isn't a diatribe against cell phones or against Facebook or anything. I'm just saying you are being influenced every time you light the screen up. And my challenge to you today is this. If you want to be a good influence, you better manage what's influencing you. And this is what I believe God was saying to Moses to Joshua when he said, don't turn to it, talking about the law of the covenant. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. What's he saying? I want you to keep focused. The primary influence I want on you, Joshua, is the Word of God. The primary influence on you should be the promises, the presence, the power of God, the commands, the prohibitions, the directives of God. I want to be the primary influence on you. And as long as I am the primary influence on you, you will be a good influence. You'll be successful. You'll leave a large footprint according to my destiny I've ordained for you. See, here's the question. How are those around me and the things around me that I partake of, how are they affecting my life, my priorities, my courage, my faith, my obedience? Jesus talked about having a single eye. Y'all remember this little statement? You know, if your eye is single, then you're in good shape. If your eye is not single, then, you know, the light you think's in you is darkness. What's he really saying? He's saying, listen, you gotta be careful what affects the way you see things. Does Fox News affect you more than the Scriptures? Oh, me. Do the conversations in the break room at work, how are they affecting you? How are they affecting your attitude? How are they affecting your obedience to God? How are they affecting your joy? Listen, the news can sap your joy if you watch too much of it. It can make you angry and depressed. You say, but it's the reality. I got to deal with it. I tell you what you better deal with. You better deal with the reality of what God says. So if you want to be a good influence, if you want to obey Jesus' will for you to be a light in a dark place, first of all, you've got to manage what influences you between your ears, and it goes, there's only 18 inches from here to here, they say, and if it stays here long enough, it's going to affect here. What's affecting here and here? What's really affect? What really molds your attitudes? What really determines your level of peace? What really determines your level of joy? What really determines your level of obedience? What causes you to hunger or not hunger for more of God? Because if you want to be the light of the world, or if you just want to be joy in a joyless place, you got to decide what's going to affect you. And God was telling Joshua, keep your focus, buddy. Keep your eye single. Don't get so distracted with so many voices and so much noise and so many opportunities and so much. You got to make sure you keep your focus on the thing that should mold your attitude and your direction. Second thing is, have confidence in His promises and His presence. I told you earlier, say promise, promise, promise. You see how many promises are in these 9 verses? You'll divide the land that I swore to give them. The Lord will go with you wherever you go. Nobody will be able to stand against you. You're going to be successful. I mean, He was just promises, promises. And what was the key to the promises? It's that one right there. The Lord is with you wherever you go. How many of you think you'd have a lot more confidence and courage if you were confident God was with you and He had directed your steps and you were walking under His direct orders? Would that not make you more confident? I can tell you, if I'm going to go work on an automobile, I want somebody by my side that I know knows more than I do. Amen. My wife's saying amen too. She knows it's true. If I'm working on electricity, I want somebody like Bob beside me because I'll fry myself. I mean, I'm just confident of it. I want somebody with me. When they're with me, I'm confident. And that's what God was saying to Joshua, I believe. He said, listen, I'm going to be with you every step. Everywhere you put your foot, reason you're going to possess that is because I'm going to be stepping with you. You're going to be stepping at my command. You're going to be stepping in submission to me. You're going to be listening to me. You're going to be cooperating with me. You're going to be walking in my blessing because you're walking in my boundaries. That's what He wants for us. He wants us to have confidence in His promises and in His presence. Are you confident God's with you? Even in the most difficult, confusing moment, if you're confident He's with you, you know, you can just kind of hunker down and say, we're going to get through this somehow because He's with me. He's for me, not against me. He's with me. He's in me. Third thing is, take courage to go beyond your comfort zone. I told you, He said it 3 times, be strong and very courageous in 9 verses. What's He telling? Why has He got to be courageous? Because He's telling him to observe everything God's commanded him, like walk around Jericho when they could be throwing out hot pitch and shooting arrows. I mean, He's telling him to do things that maybe the people following him might not understand. It took courage to obey every step of the way for Joshua. It took courage to obey. It took courage for him to speak to the people what God told him to say. You see, He's saying, observe all that I've commanded you. Don't let it cease from coming out of your mouth. This is about meditation and it's about proclamation. It takes courage to do what God says do, to say what God says say, and to think and meditate on the things that God wants to dominate our thought life. It takes courage to live that way. Because, can I tell you, God will lead you past your comfort zone for the sake of love and for the sake of influencing someone that is drowning in their own despair. He will do that. That's not just for the preacher. He will. Just say it with me. I just want to know you're with me. He will. Say it. He will lead me past my comfort zone to be an influence. He will. I want some of the worship team, whoever can, come back. I know some of them might have gone with Brother R.L., but we could just have at least a piano. That would be fine. I just want to wrap this up. Here's what I want to tell you. We can be an influence wherever we're willing to consistently express love and obedience by praying, being present with people, just being there with them, proclaiming the truth to them, and participating with people. You can be an influence anywhere and with anybody you're willing to pray over. You hear what I'm saying? Your prayers make a difference. And if you dare believe that, God will influence people and situations through your prayer. You wonder, why do I spend a Sunday night at least once a month urging you to come pray? Because I believe what I'm saying, that the prayers of God's people, the prayer of a righteous man avails much. And you can influence by praying. Not just at church, but at work, at home, in the neighborhood, at the gym, at the grocery store, at Walmart, wherever you go. But we can also be influences just by being in a place and just being light in a dark place. We can influence by actually speaking truth. We can influence by getting involved with people. Simple things, but it starts with praying. Now here's what I want to do. Just bow your head, would you? Just bow your head just for a minute. If the part of this resonates with you, that things have happened in your past that you feel like have been negative influences on you and they've hindered you. It may be something extreme, or it may be something that nobody else ever realized really affected you, but it has, and it comes up in your mind and you know it limits you. You know that influence from your past has robbed you over and over. It's robbed you of peace. It's robbed you of joy. It's robbed you of confidence. It's robbed you of hope. But there's something from your past. It may be something you did, or it may be something that was done to you, or it may be something that nobody ever really knew about it but you, but it affected you. And you want God to break that chain off of your potential. You just want Him to break off that old stuff that's just kind of followed you around like old baggage. You want to be free. I just want to see your hand. Is there anybody here like that today? I see. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Anybody else? Anybody like, okay, I see that. All right. We're going to pray for you in just a moment. I just want to remind you, God's greater than the influence that might have twisted your heart or your mind or your potential or your confidence. But we have to invite Him and engage Him as the primary influence in our lives. Then there may be other people here this morning. You're really wondering, can I really be a positive? Can I really affect other people with the hope and the joy and the love of Jesus? Can I really, me? Can I affect people? Can I affect situations with my prayers? Can I affect situations with my presence? Can I? I mean, really? I just want to make this statement, and then I'm going to ask for a response. When the Holy Spirit and the Word of God are the major influences in my life, day by day, I can influence other people for His kingdom. I'm going to say it one more time. When the Holy Spirit and the Word of God are the major molders of my attitude and my perspective day by day, I can make a difference regardless of my talents or lack of talents, regardless of my past, regardless of my misgivings and my fears. I can make a difference and influence other people positively if the Holy Spirit and God's Word become the major influences on my perspectives and my desires and my attitudes. I will be a light in dark places. I will leave a footprint. And it won't be like footprints in the sand. It'll be like Roman roads. Deep, strong, lasting, permanent. I believe that's what God wants for each of us. If that's what you want for your life, I want to see your hand. I want to be a difference maker. I want to leave footprints. Raise your hand. Amen. I'm going to ask everybody that raised your hand to stand up and come join me down at the front. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. Come on. I'm doing it this way because I'm concerned that some people that said, I've been influenced negatively by my past. I don't want you to feel like you're singled out, because you know what? All of us have been affected negatively somehow by our past. All of us. Sometimes we don't even know it. I want you to lift your hands up, and I want you to invite the Holy Spirit to be the primary influence in your life day by day by day, decision by decision. Come on, sing that song, Walking Around These Walls. Come on, let's do it. Come on, just reach out to the Lord. Father, let your Holy Spirit influence us, Lord. We want you to be the influence. Oh God, fill our thoughts and our hearts and our minds. Come on, just use your words. Walls come down. Walls of the past come down. Fears of the past be broken. Depression wither under the presence of the Holy Spirit. Fear be broken according to the Word of God. Oh, Rambore de da 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 da. We believe your word, Lord. We believe your word that you are a chain breaker, that you are the liberator, that you are the one that sets free, you are the one that sets right. You are the life changer, you are the transformer, oh God. We take your word. We believe your word today that you have better for your children. Hallelujah. Just bare your soul to Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness.
Take Egypt out of us, Lord. Take Egypt out of us and make us warriors. The move, you move the mountain. I believe I'll see you do it again. There's no way. Believe I'll see you do it again. Hallelujah. Yes. Here's what I want us to do. I said a while ago, I don't want to single anybody out or embarrass them, but if you really feel like there's things from your past that have affected you adversely and you want specific prayer, I want you to raise your hand and keep it up. You're down here. Just raise it up. Come on. Raise it up and hold it up. Okay, you see these hands. Here's some of your chance to influence. I want you to go. I'm going to anoint them with oil, and I want you to lay hands. I want some of you around them to lay hands on them, would you? And if you're not laying hands on them, take somebody near you and pray that God will increase their influence. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Come on, come on. Listen, God wants to break chains. God wants to break chains. Amen? Do you believe that? He wants to break. Come on. Those of you out there, would you just lift your hand in this direction and pray? Would you do that? God wants to break chains. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. Pray. Pray for them. I'm going to lead in a prayer, the rest of us, but come on, let's pray. Father, today is Liberation Day. Today is D-Day, Lord. Today is the day we win the victory. Today is the day that your spirit breaks that haunting cloud, that heavy baggage that has robbed people of your best. In Jesus' name, we break condemnation off of people's hearts and minds. We break fear off of people's minds. We break anger and hurt and unforgiveness off of these hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Lord, we break low self-worth or self-esteem, God, that has just kept them from venturing out and trying new things. We break that off of them. That fear of disapproval. Oh God, that distrust of closeness in relationships. Lord, we go after that, and by your authority, we say, be broken in Jesus' name. Lord God, deep wounds of the heart by abuse or neglect. Lord, we pray for healing in Jesus' name. Lord, for any foothold the devil has been given, any stronghold he has erected in our thought processes and our hearts, right now in Jesus' name, we ask you, Father, break those strongholds. We tear them down by your authority in Jesus' name. We pray that your Spirit, by your word, will clarify thought processes and those lies the enemy has laced through our thoughts. God, would be exposed and dismantled in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want every one of you just to ask the Holy Spirit, be the major influence of my life. Holy Spirit, saturate me today. Lord, I want you to have the primary influence on my days, on my decisions, on my relationships. Lord, on my responses, on my perspectives, my opinions, my attitudes and my desires. Holy Spirit, I say, take control. Apply the Word of God to my heart and to every one of these areas of my heart. I ask you, be king of every kingdom of my heart. Holy Spirit, I ask you to speak to me in that still small voice. Speak to me through your Word this week. Lord, pull me up short when I'm going in the wrong direction. God, guide my steps. You said the steps of a righteous man are ordered to the Lord. I trust that word, Lord. Help me listen, not just at church on Sunday morning. Help me listen on Monday morning. Help me listen on Tuesday afternoon. Help me listen, God, on Friday when people are edgy and ready to go home. Help me hear you. Bring the word of your scriptures back to my remembrance. God, give me an obedient heart that I'll respond to the little nudges of the Holy Spirit. I want to be a light in a dark place. And I know if you were the major influence and primary influence of my days and my ways, I will be a light in a dark place. I give myself to you. Those of you that said, I've got things in my past holding me, affecting me, I want you to raise both of your hands up to heaven, and I want you to make a confession of faith. Today is the day things change. Today is the day of change. Today is a new day. Today God has started something in me. It may not be completed yet, but He started it in me. I'm gonna fulfill my potential. I'm gonna live in concert with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to live according to His Word. I'm going to be a light in a dark place because He is going to fill me with light. Now, Father, I pray that if there's any little nook or cranny of our heart that is not submitted to the influence of your Spirit and submitted to the truth of your Word, that you would point it out. Not so we'll feel bad, but so that we can grow in obedience and peace and power. I just want to say a couple of things to you, and then I'm going to bless you and let you go. Just like the children of Israel just didn't just walk in and take over, they had to fight battles to possess the land. And some of you that have been impacted by your past all your life, I want you to understand there's battles you may have to fight, but you're assured of victory. You're assured of victory. One of the first battles you got to fight is when you detect some thoughts coming into your mind and the Holy Spirit, you've invited Him to alert you. When a stinking thinking thought starts coming through your mind just like it always does, it's up to you to go, no, that's not what God's Word says. That's not my destiny. That's not who God has saved me to be. That's wrong. We've got to learn That first thing about handling what influences you, you better learn to use God's word like a sword and tear down those strongholds, because you have just prayed that the Holy Spirit would point out strongholds. He'll start showing you what is a thought pattern that's unbiblical and that it is trapping you. Okay? And I want you to take that and go with it. Okay? The other thing is, you need to remind yourself, God is with me and God has made me promises, and I'm going to walk like it. I'm going to act like it. I'm going to talk like it. Remember, obey, meditate, and proclaim. I'm going to think the truth. I'm going to talk the truth. I'm going to do the truth. When you make a commitment to do that and you do it, God is with me, God is for me, God's made me promises, and remember, He will lead me past my comfort zone. If you'll settle all that in your heart today and say, Holy Spirit, here's what I really challenge you to do: get up every day and say, Holy Spirit, I surrender. I surrender. You're large and in charge, and I want to follow your nudges. Well, what if I don't know if it's the Lord? Well, if that nudge is telling you to do something good or something biblical, go with it. The devil doesn't tell you to do things like that. Okay? Let's just all raise our hands right now. Father, I just bless this people in your name. Lord, I bless their mind and their heart. I bless their emotions, their thought processes. Lord, may your Holy Spirit saturate the way we think and the way we desire and the way we respond. In Jesus' name, we want to be people of the Word and the Spirit, because there is victory and there are footprints to be laid and there is territory to be taken. And Lord, there are people to bring hope and truth and joy to. And we want to be those people that do it. So Lord, we ask you, Holy Spirit, begin talking to us and give us ears to hear and hearts that say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I want to be influenced by you more than Facebook. I want to be influenced by you more than the news. I want to be influenced by you more than the conversations around me. I don't want to be influenced by anything more than by you and your word, so that I can be an influence and change the environment wherever I go. Lord, that is our inheritance and our destiny, and we accept it in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen.